Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
We are, we're going to be entering into a series that we're going to be calling Game Changer. It's a series that's going to be focused especially on taking short pieces of scripture and ultimately asking the question, if I were to really believe that one short little verse to be true, or if I were to take that one short little verse or verses and allow it to be real in my life, how would it change me? How would it change my life? When I was, anybody ever play Little League? Anybody play Little League growing up? I played for, a couple of you guys. I played Little League growing up, and I played for a town called Annawa. Annawa is a small town of like 100 people, maybe 200 or something in the town. It's a really small town. But they always had, you know, from the surrounding areas, enough kids to be able to put on a small Little League team. And I played for this, I played for them, and I can still remember one of the tournaments we had. It was a 13 and under tournament. So I was either 12 or 13 or 11 or somewhere in there. And I was about that age, and I remember it was a whole tournament, and we were playing a lot of different teams. But one of the teams that we were playing was from actually an Indian reservation. I think, if I remember correctly, the name of the kind of town or reservation was Rice Lake. And so we were going to be playing these guys next, and we knew they were supposed to be really good. Well, all of a sudden, and I'll be honest with you, what I'm about to tell you is I can't say 100% that it actually happened, okay? I know this sounds weird, but this is the way it is in my mind, and I think this is true, but I don't fully know if it's true, okay? I'm just shooting straight. I'm trying to, you know, be honest here. I don't know. Maybe I kind of built this up in my mind over the years, but we were playing Rice Lake. I think it was Rice Lake, and one of the kids that started warming up pitching, I think, drove to the ballpark. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was a 13-year-old and under tournament. I'm pretty sure this kid drove to the ball diamond, got out, started warming up. Turns out this kid's name, and this I'm almost 99% sure is true, it turns out this kid's name was Buckshot. That's what he went by. And we had to hit against Buckshot. And so our 12, 11, 12, 13-year-old selves go up to bat, and here's Buckshot, okay, who drove to the ballpark pitching at me. The bottom line, I don't even remember, but I guarantee you we lost to Rice Lake. I guarantee that. Because Buckshot's a game changer, right? If you got Buckshot on your team and the kid can drive to the ball, it's going to change the game. Bottom line, that game, I don't care who you got on your team, I don't care how good you are, if you got Buckshot, you're going to win. Right? I think of, you know, some of the people we know. I think of like Altuve, right? You got Altuve, you're going to do pretty good. And this guy is just a little dude, but he's got so much. I mean, just go watch the stats on this guy and go look at some of the numbers and some of the just the quick reflexes he has and the ability that he has to just hit the ball. And he's just this little dude. As I'm thinking about scripture, I'm thinking, you know, it's so important for us to look at large portions of scripture. Actually, I'd encourage you to actually put our mobile app on your phone and listen to it. Sometimes I'll just listen to chapters at a time of God's word. That's good. That's appropriate. That's a good move. But there's also something to be said while you do that, because it begins to build the scaffolding, okay? It kind of begins to build the scaffolding of your life. But it's also good at the exact same time to sometimes read one verse and just stop. And just meditate. And just process. And just ask the self, is that true? And if that is true, what does that mean for me in my life? Does that make sense? And so sometimes we're in these series, we're covering large swaths. I think of last fall or last spring, we went through Joshua in just like 6 weeks, which is a long, long book in the Bible. So we covered huge chunks of scripture. Well, now what I want to do is I want to look at stuff that's just 8 verses or less. Today, only 5 verses we're looking at. And really, we're only looking at really kind of intimately one. And I want to ask the question, if that is true, what does that mean for me? How does that shape me? How does that change me? And there's one particular verse that really kind of triggered this for me, which I'm not preaching on today. I'm going to preach on it in a couple weeks. But there's one particular verse that really jumped at me. It was like, man, if I were to put that into action in my life, or if our people were to put that into action, it would change everything. I mean, it would be a game changer for our families, for individuals, for nations. I mean, it changed everything. Just a couple of verses. So I asked that question today. Let's just look at some one little short little things and just see how big of a game changer they really are in our life. That's what I want to do. I want to spend some time with that. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is in the back of the Bible. It's kind of the Old Testament. And I wanted to start here. And I just want you to read these short 5 verses. There's not going to be huge long readings the next couple weeks. It's going to be short little readings. Here it is. Listen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. 5 verses. This is Moses, who's heard from the Lord, speaking to God's people as they're about to enter into the promised land. And he's reflecting on what had been told them 38 some years earlier at Mount Sinai. Remember this, when God came down and gave the Ten Commandments? You know, the Ten Commandment movie. You've seen that around Easter time. You know, when Moses goes up on the mountain. Yeah, and he hears from the Lord and God speaks to him. Well, 38 years later, Moses is retelling some of the people, some of the things that have been said and potentially even spoken more things to them. Okay, and this is what he says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the verse right there. That's what I'm going to preach on most of this right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That sounds almost like, hit up Hobby Lobby on the way home. Some of you get that. Hear, O Israel. What's that? Sorry. They're closed on Sundays. That's true. Yeah, don't go to Hobby Lobby. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This verse has been just fascinating to me this past week. Somebody who is Jewish says that verse, it's called the Shema, says that verse, if you're a Jew, you speak this twice a day, in the morning and in the evening. Right when you wake up at the beginning of the day and right when before you go to bed at night, you recite this verse, the Shema. Shema. Shema is not there, but it's in the Hebrew. Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. Shema Yisrael. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Shema, hear, Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord, or Yahweh, they wouldn't say Yahweh, it'd be Adonai for them, but hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Lord, our God. The Lord is one. They say this twice a day. It's called the Shema, and there's a couple other verses that are part of that and included in that. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking, here's a verse in Scripture that is thought about and meditated on twice a day, every day. They just keep reciting this baby. This one verse is jam-packed with stuff. I mean, if we were just reading it, you know, if we were like listening to the Bible app, we'd just hear it and we'd just keep going. You wouldn't even listen to it. One verse, and it's a game changer. One verse, it's a game changer. So how is it a game changer? Let's unpack it a little bit. Let's talk about it, okay? Here, Shema, hear. hear, listen. And it's not just hear, it's listen attentively, it's listen with obedience, a readiness. It's like, okay, sir, what do you got for me? Hearing, putting it into action, making it happen, doing it. Here, we're going to hear something that then's going to change me, and I'm going to go put it into action. I'm going to go do something about it. I'm going to be obedient to this, God. Simply hearing a sound, a voice, is huge. Listen, this is one of my points up here. God wants us to hear, check this out. God wants us to hear what he speaks. This is something I'd want to maybe put like on, I don't know, this could be a Facebook post. God wants us to hear what he speaks. God wants us to speak what we hear from him. Oh, I'm nervous because I was looking at my time and I feel like I don't have a lot of time, but man, I could be here all day preaching this. God wants us to hear what he speaks. God wants us to speak what we hear from him. See, simply him speaking reveals that he is. God is. God just is. Moses, do you remember the story where God is speaking to Moses out of the burning bush? And Moses ends up, this is in Exodus chapter 3. And God ends up saying to Moses says to God, he says, who do I say that sent me? And God's like, I am who I am. You want to tell who sent you to the people of Israel? What I want you to say is, I am sent you. I just am. Stop messing around. I am. It's the verb to be. I just am. I'm God. I'm the Holy, Almighty, King of the universe. I'm your creator. I'm God. I just am. The prophets, when they hear what they are supposed to speak, it's not like detail. It's just he is. He's the eternal God. And see, our culture would have us believe one of these three things, in my opinion. Our culture would have us believe, one, either that there is no God, which there's some of us that maybe even in the room right now might not believe there is a God. Maybe there is no God, right? Our culture might have us believe that. Or our culture might have us believe, I think these other two are even more predominant, especially in the West, and that is that there's actually many gods. Now, they don't call them gods, but our culture does ask us to spend time and energy. You might call it worship. Again, they don't use that term. But all of our lives begin to serve things like our house, or it begins to serve things like our job, or it begins to serve things, and we begin to put all of our energies into whatever. It could be lots of things. And our culture has us pursuing after these gods. And I think even more predominant than that, our culture would teach us that we are God. That's the one I see everywhere. That's the one I see everywhere. That you are in charge of your own destiny. You are God. You serve yourself. You choose the things you want to do in life. You make the decisions. You run your life. It's all about you. And our culture teaches us that we are gods. We are our own God. And we are to serve no one but ourselves. And then the one eternal God says, no, he just says, he speaks, I am. I am. And instantly, the voice of the eternal, almighty, creator of the universe, the one true God, his voice silences everything else. I am. Just think about that. Just God, being God, is the game changer. Just God. That's the game changer. Is that true in your life? Is that true for you? That just there's just God. Not even. He just is. He speaks, and there's a word, and there's a sound, and we hear it. This is why preaching in Christianity is such a preaching and sharing the good news of Jesus. You'll hear people say, this is why this is so huge, because it's the word. It's we speak it to people. We tell people the good news of what God has done, what God is doing. This is the apostles witnessing the resurrected Jesus and sharing that and passing that down from generation to generation so that you can sing to your kids, Jesus loves me, this I know. You could say, for the Bible tells me so, that's true. But you might also say, for my parents told me so. I've heard it. They've told me. They've said it to me. It's true. Just is. For my parents. See, just yesterday I was in my house and I heard a doorbell and I'll go open the door and there's some people canvassing in our neighborhood. And they're just telling people about Jesus. And it was actually a good friend of mine and he stopped at my house. He claimed our street because he wanted to stop in their house. So we just had a great talk, conversation, great talk. And it was actually another neighbor of ours that came over and was standing in our driveway and the guy, my pastor friend, starts telling this guy about Jesus. And I'm like, I was humbled, honestly. I was humbled because I've been living in this street, and I know the guy, and we've talked, and we connect, and build a relationship, and all this. But here's this guy, just a complete stranger, sharing Jesus with somebody. Not whether you agree with canvassing or not, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of it personally, but whatever, ultimately, I'll pray over the guy that's doing this and the pastor. I love him like crazy. I pray that they converted a million people yesterday, okay? But my point is simply this. The proclamation, the saying it out loud, the word is such a huge deal. Shema, Israel. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh is God. Yahweh is one. Let's think about this. I think so many of us still like the idea of there being a God. Even if we don't believe in God, we still like the idea of there being a God. And this is where the next part of this kind of, in my opinion, starts to kind of change things and shift things. Because it's Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu. Eloheinu is our God. Nu there is the construct where you'd actually have our God. Eloheinu, our God. Who is this God? Our God. That's huge. That's a game changer, two words, our God. Now we've moved from just God being the game changer to our God. Think of how much of a game changer that is. Think of the kind of relationship that all of a sudden that just, it puts us in relationship with this God. He's not standing far back. He's our God. I mean, the difference between, you know, Altuve, let's say, or Taylor Swift, or whoever. So, anyway, let me ask you, does anybody have anybody famous in their family? Anybody have a famous person? Really? I was hoping for one. Anybody have a famous person? Do you guys know Auntie Sharon? Just kidding. That's my aunt. That was a joke. That was a dumb joke. Do you got somebody famous in your family? Abraham Lincoln, a connection with Abraham Lincoln. Okay, that's probably as good as maybe we got here. Oh, we got somebody famous. Who do we got? Okay, Carol Burnett. I don't know who that is, but do we know who Carol? I'm sorry.
Wait a comment.
Quick. Awesome. I'm so excited for you. I'm sorry. Who is that? An age question? Oh, really? Okay. Wow, this is going south in a hurry. So, what's the relationship? A cousin. Okay, so cool. That's actually really cool. So, Carol Burnett, who's somebody cool, I guess. I'm so happy for you. So, Carol Burnett's really cool, but. I'm not taking any more because this is going to get bad for me. Oh, my gosh. You're awesome. So, do we got another one over here? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay, yeah. I figured it'd be more. Carol Burnett, clearly I got to go YouTube or something. I'm not living yet. Yes.
Gary Kubiak, who was the coach of the Houston Texans.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. So we got a cousin. Okay, awesome. So, okay, that was, I like that. I like the cousin one, because here's the idea. The idea is, if we only know Carol Burnett, or what was this one?
Gary Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak. Cool guy, I guess. I don't know. But if we just name drop these people, they mean one thing, right? Taylor Swift. Taylor. But if Taylor Swift is your cousin, then it's different. Carol Burnett's cool, but if she's your cousin, then it's even cooler. So God isn't just God. He's our God. And actually, it wasn't until last night that I started thinking about it even a little more. I started thinking, well, what does that mean, our God? What does that mean? And actually, I started kind of thinking, God has just put on my heart that if he's our God, he's our God. And this is true for the person who doesn't believe in God. This is true for the person who has multiple gods. This is true. Now, it's different. There is a Shema Yisrael. There's a people. And we would say the new Israel today is the church. Okay? And this is from like 1 Peter. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The Gentiles are brought into God's family, and God begins to now work through Jesus. His blood covers us, and it's a people. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, 1 Peter. It's the church. But this is true, too, for even somebody who's not a Christian. God is God, whether you believe in him or not. He just is. But then to be in a relationship with him through Jesus, holy smokes, it's a game changer. John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. No, that's not, yeah, that's okay. I screwed that up. That was my bad, Lyle. But John chapter 1, verse 14 is the word becomes flesh and makes his dwelling among us. He begins to get closer and closer and closer to us. And he is our God. He wants to enter into, and he does enter into, I think whether you like it or not, he enters into your living room. He enters into what you're watching on TV. He enters into your vehicle with you as you drive to work. He enters into your life at work. He enters into your marriage or your relationships. He's God. And it can actually begin to be a little freaky when our relationship with this God is one where, well, all of a sudden, you're standing before this holy, powerful God, and you don't know what to do. And this is why Jesus comes. This is why he puts on flesh, and he comes to us. This is why Jesus is such a big deal, because Jesus is God. He is divine, enfleshed, with our sin upon himself. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who bears the sins of the world, John says. And he takes that sin to the cross. He takes your sin. He takes my sin. He takes our brokenness. He takes our failures, our shortcomings. He takes it upon himself. And he enters into our lives so that it moves from our God to our God. Do you see that? The move from God, our God. He's our God, whether you like it or not, to our God, who's for us, who we can love. Look at the verses after here. Who we can love with our whole mind, strength, all of it. Who we begin to fall even in more love with and in just relationship with. And he continues to grow that relationship, and he keeps working and doing. To hear him speak. To be in his word. to putting our faith and our trust in him who came to die for you, to rise from the dead for you, to defeat death itself for you. Man, we're sinners, yeah. But he saved us. You know, Thomas, this is, you got to go back for this, John 14. Thomas asks, show us the way to the Father, Jesus. Who is this God? Show us how we can get our heads wrapped around the Father. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And this is why, as we start in Deuteronomy, but as we move through Scripture, God continues to reveal himself to us, and ultimately he reveals himself in the person of Jesus Christ, where we put and direct all of our focus and energy. I can get my head wrapped around that because he came. He 2,000 years ago, he walked around Nazareth. He died, literally died for you and for me. He paid the price for our sin, and it's through him that we have life. Okay, I got to keep moving fast because I just got one more thing that I want to share. That is that, love the Lord your God, that was in this scripture here. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. But then I love verse 7 here. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Are we doing this? This is another one of those just practical things. This is a game changer. This past week, Ash Wednesday, one of my favorite moments all week long has been Ash Wednesday waking up early. And as a family, we gathered together in the living room, like Jackie does with the kids every day if I'm already gone, or we do as a whole family. But gathered together, and I went out and grabbed a burnt log from my fire pit, brought it inside, and we talked a little bit about a psalm that I had read that morning. And I just made a sign of the cross with this little piece of ash. I took a little bit of ash and I put it on each of my kids. And I told them, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you will die. That's a little freaky, but I did say that. I've said that before, but in different contexts. But I said, you will die, but one day you will get to walk because of Jesus in the land of the living. And that's from Psalm 116. Incredible verse. Go check it out. Verse 8. And that's what God kind of gave me that morning. But it was so cool because I wasn't pastoring a church. I was just pastoring my family. Men in the room. Men in the room. You're pastors of your families. Spiritual leaders in the room. It may be the woman right now. Spiritually guiding our families. Who's the spiritual director? Who's kind of the spiritual? And it doesn't mean you have all the answers. It doesn't mean you have it all figured out. It might mean that you're just starting and you're just trying to figure it out. And you have way more questions than answers. But I'm asking the question, are we teaching these things to our kids? When they wake up and when they go down? Are we showing them some basic things like how important it is to gather with other believers around God's word, opening up the Bible and reading it to them? Kids, little kids' Bible, we got a bunch of them in the back, and reading it to them? Are we teaching our children how to pray? Listen, guys, some of it's just so simple. Some of it simply is, our kids should know, in my opinion. And we could sit here all day and debate what should they actually. But I think some basics. Kids should know the Ten Commandments. Kids should know things like the Lord's Prayer. Kids should be able to just pray. Hey, and we're teaching our kids still some of that. We're trying to teach just to pray, to read the Bible. Can we just read a little bit and be attentive to the Word of God? Do our kids know the Apostles' Creed? I mean, these are things that we kind of try to push on Sunday mornings to try to begin to help you to identify what are some of the things that our kids should just know, to love God with all their heart and soul. Are we talking about it when we break down on the side of the road and we talk, you know what, we're going to be okay. Are we bringing God up in the situations? Are we talking about him at all? To worship, to see that Sunday mornings are important. It's important to be connected to a local church. Yes. It's important to be in God's word, to be in prayer. Do we teach our kids tithing? Are we sharing that with them? Are we having them? You know, Trax just got some money from his godparent for his baptism, and we said, all right, what is it going to look like to take a couple bucks out and give this to the Lord? Are we teaching them tithing? And I get it. I'm not trying to freak anybody out. I'm just looking at this one verse. I'm looking at this one verse, and I'm like, talk about a game changer if every person in this room would begin to pastor their families. Talk about a game changer if we would begin to teach our children the ways of Jesus. To teach them the ways of Jesus. This isn't to put blame on anybody. This isn't to make you feel bad. You know, some of us, this is hard to hear because we maybe didn't do that with our kids, or maybe we didn't do it with our grandkids, or maybe, I get it. But how can we just start? My parents still pastor me. I'm serious about that. My dad spoke some stuff into my life this past week that was pastoring me, shepherding me through my feelings and through some of the struggle. This past week was one of the most difficult weeks for me for a long time. It was just so many details. There was so much going on. I told Jackie, I've probably been more stressed this past week than any other week. And then to have my dad come, and I didn't tell him all this stuff. He just began to speak into my life truth. God's got you right where you are, Seth. He's got you right where you are. And he's put you there, he's placed you there, and you're just going to continue to walk that out. That's huge. My dad's still pastoring me. You can begin to do this, and maybe it's a different place for you. Maybe you don't start there with your son or your daughter. Maybe you start in a different place. Maybe it's, hey, can we go grab lunch? I'll buy. I don't know. But can we begin to look at a verse like this and say, man, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them pretty much all the time? God's going to be at the forefront of it? Wow, that's powerful. It's a game changer. And if you need help with it, we'll help. I'll help. Do the best we can. We're just going to keep stumbling through life, but we're going to keep stumbling towards the cross. We're going to keep stumbling our way towards the cross, towards Jesus. We're going to fix our eyes on Him. That's powerful. Shema Yisrael. Yahweh Eloheinu. Yahweh Echad. He is God. I am who I am. He's our God. He's our God who saved us, who loves us. And now those things that we hear, we speak. And we begin to pour into our kids. And we begin to pour into the people around us. We hear from Him, and we speak what we hear from Him. I don't know if you needed that. I needed that this week. Let me pray for you, and may that bless you. Lord, I pray right now that You'd, even just now, calm my heart, because I'm all fired up about this message. But ultimately, Lord, it's fired up about what You want us to hear. And God, You're meeting each of us in different places. You're meeting each of us in needing to hear this word in different ways. But I do pray, God, that You would help us and move us to a place where we might see You as our God who loves us and cares about us. Continue to work in our lives. Continue to move us to that place, Lord, where we'd put our faith and our trust in You, maybe for the first time. And for those, God, who have their faith and their trust in You, continue to move us to put our faith and our trust in You and continue to grow in that faith and continue to work that stuff in us, Lord. And then to not only continue to hear You speak, but then to begin to speak that word back into our kids' lives, back into people's lives, Lord, who desperately need to hear it. So open up not only our ears, not only open up our hearts, but may our mouths be opened as well. Give us courage, O God, to take the next steps that we need to take. Maybe it's to just grab one of these little Bibles in the back and start reading it to our little kid. Maybe it's to call a grown adult child and just tell them again how much we love them. Maybe it's to begin to teach and begin to keep prayer centered around meals. And we're going to pray. I don't know, God. There's so many different ways you want us to. And it's not about what we do, and I get that. It's about what you're doing. So just open our hearts up. Give us, right now, I just pray for clarity, for an obvious next step for somebody to take. Plant that in their heart, in their mind, right now. Please do that, God. What's that obvious next step? Maybe it's just, I don't know. I trust in you to place that there right now. We love you, Lord. Trust in you. We're going to keep doing this. Whether we're at the Yellow Rose, whether we're at Embassy, whether wherever we are, we're just going to keep hearing from you and speaking what you'd have us hear. In Jesus' name, amen.